Hello again. Welcome to our program. We're looking in the book of Colossians, and we're dealing with the last mile of the way. Just by a quick review, we've seen in our previous message in Colossians 2:1, Paul talked about a great conflict that he had. He said, "For I would that ye," that is the people at the church at Colossae, "knew of the great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh." You and them. He said, "I wish you knew of the great conflict I have for you and for them." And then as he concludes this book, he again refers to you and them that are at Laodicea. Now, they're only a very short distance apart, these two churches, and obviously we know what happened to the church at Laodicea. Paul's concerned about the influence that the Laodicean church would have on the church at Colossae. He talks about their hearts in chapter 2, and then he talks about your hearts again three times. He makes a comparison here. When he wrote to the church at Galatia, and we can see this problem was creeping in here, or flooding in probably 2,000 years ago, like it is today, he said, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Though we," now he's saying, we, Paul and Timothy, "though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." Is he saying here that if Timothy and Paul preach another gospel, they could lose their salvation? No, the word accursed here is anathema, and has nothing to do with losing your salvation. It has something to do with being exposed for teaching false doctrine. We'll look at more at that in a previous program. As we said before, he says it again, "so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men?" There's our problem today. Boy, "for if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Well, figure out what category we're in here, because if we're seeking to please men and just make people feel good in our churches all the time, and that's important, but there has to be a balance. But yet, if I'm going to please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men." Now again, as we have said before, unless we are sincerely willing to face the truth, "open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me." And not only that, "open my ears," he's talking spiritually here, "that I may hear the truth." And then he says, "open my mouth and let me give the truth everywhere." Our problem today is not so much what is being preached in our fundamental churches. The problem is what is not being preached. "Open my eyes." Let's make this our sincere prayer today. Sincere.
"Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit. open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare to love with thy children thus who share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my heart, illumine me. Spirit divine.
Well, Paul was concerned. He had a great conflict about this other gospel, and he said, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, we're talking about the gospel. He said here, I want to finish my course that I have received of Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Now, in Titus 2:11, we read, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And so we're seeing here that Paul's concern is that this plan of salvation that is taught in the Word of God was being perverted. He said there are some that would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so in Ephesians 1:13, he said, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Romans 1, the gospel of Christ unto salvation. Ephesians 1:13, the gospel of your salvation. He's talking about the plan of salvation being perverted. He said, there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so what we need to be concerned about here in this day and age in which we're living is the same thing. The gospel, God's plan of salvation, is being perverted today. Jude dealt with the same problem. He said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. That word common has been translated defiled in Mark chapter 7. It has been translated unclean 3 times in Romans 14, and it has been translated unholy in Hebrews 19 and 29. He said, I need to write to you about this perverted plan of salvation, this defiled, unclean, unholy plan of salvation that was creeping in. And so Paul had a problem with it, had a great conflict about it, and then Jude wrote about it, not by chance, that's just before the revelation. And so he said, it was needful for me to write unto you. He doesn't say, I was going to write to you about the plan of salvation, but it was needful for me. There's no but here. It was needful for me to write unto you. Needful means a circumstance that requires immediate course of action. He said, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now the perverted plan of salvation is to all get this repentance thing out of there and let's just have the people pray a little prayer. Now, that's a perverted plan. That is a totally against what Jesus taught. And the problem that we have today is the silence on this. Let's just keep the meetings positive and stay away from any issues. The issue here is the plan of salvation. Oh, well, we are trying to get a crowd, and after all, we've got this big mortgage now that we never prayed about in the first place, and so we started the church because we wanted to help the people, but now we got to have the people help us, and we got to have a crowd so we look good in the, you know, our fellow fundamentalists. And so as I said, the problem is not what is being preached. The problem is what is not being preached. And if people are just praying a little forgiveness prayer, they're no different than Catholics or cults that are praying little forgiveness prayers and never repented. This is a serious situation that we are strangely silent about in our so-called fundamental churches. We're talking about the plan of salvation. There's multitudes of people sitting in our fundamental independent Baptist church who prayed a little forgiveness prayer and didn't repent. If they did that, they're going to hell when they die. Preacher, wake up. Colossians 2:8, Paul said, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now, philosophy is how we do what we're commanded to do. And we're going to do it after the world. Yeah, the world says, let's get a crowd. Or we're going to do it the way Christ said to do it. The first message that Jesus preached, Matthew 4:17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent. Mark 1:14-15, Jesus came into Galilee preaching, repent ye and believe the gospel. In Luke, he said, I tell you nay, verse 3, chapter 13, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then he said it again, 2 verses later, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Paul said, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Is there anything too difficult to understand about that verse? And so he said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Then Colossians 2:18, let no man beguile you of your reward. Now this verse is very interesting. We'll close with this today. 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. He's talking here to Christians now. There's going to be false teachers among the people. Yeah, we understand that part. But there's going to be false teachers among the Christians who privily shall bring in damnable heresy. A damnable heresy is a heresy that will damn you in hell forever. Even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed 3 times. There's going to be false teachers among you, even denying the Lord that redeemed them, Christians preaching heresy, and bringing upon themselves swift destruction. That word has been translated waste. This is where we are today. If we're going to be preaching another gospel in our churches, it's a damnable heresy being taught by Christians, and it's going to bring waste. There are going to be those sitting in our churches who thought because they made a little emotional decision that they were saved. Well, be sure and be with us. We'll continue this very important series concerning the last mile of the way.